FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
That's absolutely true. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. We're going to get into the Biden thing. We are, I promise you. When's he going to talk about it? Boss, hang in there. You're going to love it. Okay, in the studio, a former radio personality, now firearms aficionado. And today, artist. He is here in the studio. And the reason here, Trey Valentine, loved you on the radio.
Thank you.
We all miss you. I still hear about you. Aren't you going back on the radio?
It's funny because I'll give my credit card or something to somebody at a you know, like you said, a 7-Eleven or something, and they'll look at it and they'll say, "Are you the Trey Valentine?" I'm like, "Yeah. Is there another?"
Well, actually, I hate to bring this up. There is.
He's a good golfer.
Have you ever? Michaela's wife is here, right? You're his wife?
No.
No, I am. Oh. I am his other hand in business. Actually.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How embarrassing.
She's my boss, so she might as well be
that's
my wife.
That's fair. Yeah.
But, she is the wife of Scott, who is the CEO and founding father of Nevada Firearms Academy.
Well, okay, back to the other Trey Valentine. I hate to tell you this because I tried to do a little preparation for the show and everything. So Trey Valentine's coming. Okay, so I go to Google. You probably know what I'm getting to here because if you type in Trey Valentine, the autofill pops up and the autofill says Trey Valentine, trans dresser or something like that. No, it does.
Oh, lovely.
What do they call that? It's
drag queen.
Drag queen.
There
that's
you go.
What it
oh.
says.
Yeah.
You're typing Trey Valentine, then suddenly it pops up Trey Valentine drag queen. Are you aware of this?
No, I'm not. But thanks for bringing it to light.
No, I wasn't
that.
Going to
on live air.
I wasn't going to, but you said, "Well, is there another Trey Valentine?" So
no, there isn't.
All right, well, folks, if you know who this person is, don't call. We don't want to hear it. Okay, so it's been years since you've been on the radio. I think that's a terrible waste of talent, of course, without you on the radio in the morning.
Thank you for that.
I liked. Now, tell me about the blood drive, which you're doing, and that's the reason we invited you in. Hey, Michaela, tell us about it.
So Nevada Firearms Academy and Range tries to host at least 3 to 6 blood drives a year. We try to kind of cater that to each month and what the awareness of it is. This month just happens to be American Heart Month. So if you come down to Nevada Firearms Academy and Range today and donate your blood, you will receive a raffle ticket that goes towards $300 of a gun of your choice. So come on down, donate your blood, receive a raffle ticket. You can also purchase additional raffle tickets for $20. After that $300 is covered, we will put the additional proceeds toward heart health awareness.
All right. Where's it going on at?
Nevada Firearms Academy.
It's 9425 Double R Boulevard, and we're right in the middle of the suite. You will see the Reno Cheesesteaks truck in the parking lot right next to the blood bus, and you can grab a nice cheesesteak from them. And then C's Mad Batter Cakery out of Spanish Springs has also brought us some amazing, delicious cookies for you guys to enjoy after you donate.
When is this going on?
Today, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So come out, hang out. Get
it's going
some shots
on
off.
Now?
Right now.
You're here.
My appointment isn't until noon, so we're good.
I gotta Trey, you're here during your own blood drive?
I got to do the stuff. I got to get the word out. It's not about me. It's about the blood. The blood, baby.
We could have taken the blood here, man.
I don't know if you want to be on the air after giving
there
blood.
There are some blood right. suckers here, I'm telling you.
True story.
So anyway, you and I are of the same mind. You know, I like what you posted on Facebook today, which is, "My security monitoring system has been updated at its state of art. Do what you will." And what's the picture of?
The picture is of our fearless leader, Scott. It's whenever he can't make something. I was going to bring him here today. Whenever he can't make something and I feel like he should be there, I just take a little paper cutout and I bring him along. Like he missed the Reno Rodeo a couple years back. And And
so this picture is supposed to scare crooks away.
Pretty much. Doesn't okay. it? Would All you break right. into my okay. house with that?
Got it. let me see. What else do you have here? You have your desk where you do those your art.
Yes.
And your art can be seen all over town right now, right?
It is everywhere. I am tagging the heck out of Reno's park in Carson City.
You do signs for businesses.
Yeah, window art.
Like window
art is on our window at Nevada Farms Academy and Range as well.
Yeah, you can go by 9425RR and check it out.
I mean, during Christmas time, you draw the Santas in the window and the elves. And
yeah, we were actually supposed to get together and have some coffee and talk about old times, right?
Yeah.
And then Christmas season hit, and I did 7 days a week for about 2 months straight. Painting Santa Claus. I think I painted 512.
I mean, this is good stuff. I mean, no, this is like Disney.
Thank you.
That's the way you draw.
I have a Mickey Mouse job for sure.
I never knew you did this back when you were on the radio.
Yep.
I mean, and I never knew you were so into firearms
back in the day.
When did this start?
It actually started February 8th, 1997 in the North Hollywood shootout. I was married to my first wife. And she worked at a bank about two doors down from the North Hollywood shootout. The day after that shootout, I went to B&B Gun Sales and bought a 38 four-inch barrel revolver that I still have today. And that was my first introduction to firearms.
What's your arsenal like right now? I think you posted it, didn't you?
Well, I've always said size doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to go up against me. And that's because Scott, our fearless leader at Nevada Firearms Academy, has trained me for going on 12 years now.
One of your Facebook posts says, you did this on Groundhog Day. I saw my shadow yesterday on my way to Nevada Firearms Academy and Range, and it's a silhouette of you with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It says 6 more weeks of freedom.
It's true. You know what? I have a tattoo of Statue of Liberty here, right?
So this is where you teach classes, right?
Yep.
The CCR classes?
CCW.
CCW, Nevada Firearms Academy and Range. What's that place like? Are you one of the owners or something?
No, I'm just a gun enthusiast who's lucky enough to be able to pass my knowledge on to the community. Michaela has trained with Scott as well for many, many years. She offers a women's only introduction to pistol, which is really cool because, and I don't mind saying this, the firearms community can be very intimidating. You ever go to a gym, right? And there's some dude with no neck and he's like, you know, just right. Yeah. And you're over there, you know, curling 20-pound weights. It's intimidating. You're like, what am I doing here? This is crazy.
Absolutely.
I'll never be that guy.
It is, and they talk all that caliber stuff.
Yeah,
and it's all types of guns. And...
Yeah, it's all machismo, and oh, you're going to carry that little pea shooter? Come on, man. Like, that's not us at Nevada Firearms Academy at all. Like, it's she makes cookies every single morning.
Yes, and popcorn.
So it's not your regular, you know, I'm here to do stuff.
No, I think that changed decades ago when crime started getting really bad, and I'm thinking really neighborhood crime, retail crime, the shoplifting, thieves here and there. I think that destroyed the stereotype of the gun owner right there, and your mom who lives next door has something.
And can probably shoot better than dad.
I have found that, and no offense to you men out there, but women seem to be the better shot. We take the knowledge. And,
what?
And
I never heard that before.
In.
No?
So, honestly, we'll put up in our Pistol 1 course, we shoot between 150 to 200 rounds. Mm-hmm. And typically, the women comprehend it quicker because the men try to control the explosion.
What?
True story.
It's just what you
I've
men
never
try
heard
to do.
That before.
Yep. Men try to control it, and women say, okay, what's next? Yep, that's all it does. It's just a tool.
That's really interesting.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but men also have a lot more bad habits that they've developed over the years, whereas women are kind of don't hit me or anything. This is not more of an empty canvas. So you can kind of just write what you want on that page, and that's all that there is. You don't have to erase anything. You don't have to scribble anything out. That makes a lot of
there
sense.
There is a difference in minds, I tell you.
Yep.
But what are the bad habits that men would have? with when it comes to that?
It's all encompassing. It's, you know, stance. Stance is a huge thing that a lot of
grip,
people don't.
Stance.
Yeah. Everyone
control,
just thinks
side it, alignment. It all goes hand in hand, but
yeah. Really, and there are guns that are made particularly for women, aren't there? Because listen, I had a gun and the trigger pull was hard and it was a heavy gun. And I think, and I assumed that they made easier guns to handle than those for women, right?
Yes and no. And that's kind of why we've created this stance that we have at Nevada Firearms Academy and Range. We have 115 plus rental guns to choose from. Don't go into just a regular store, see what feels nice in your hand. Come down, shoot it, get what it feels like, the recoil, etc., and see what works for you. That longer trigger pull may be something you like because it's a mental safety for you.
Which brings me to, okay, for the people out there who have been thinking a long time about getting protection and getting a gun, myself included,
yeah.
You guys must have your favorite brands. All right, you're aficionado of what brand? I'll start with Trey. Trey, what's the best gun brand you can buy?
There is no such thing. It depends on your mood. It depends on your carry situation as well. I carry concealed a lot of the time, most of the time. And if I'm wearing something tight fit in the summertime, well, I can't carry a full-size 1911. Okay. If it's wintertime and I'm wearing bulky clothes like a hoodie and a jacket, I can carry pretty much a Desert Eagle if I want because I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4". But
isn't one more quality than the other? Isn't one more
There's certain things that don't fit
reliable.
My hand that I don't like.
Yeah.
You know, I've recently entered the Sig Sauer world, and I'm really digging the Sig right now. But I, for years and years, was a revolver guy. I'm a cowboy fast action shooter. I can take a single action revolver from my hip, draw it, and fire it 21 feet away in just about half a second, which is fun. But is it, you know, convenient every day to carry a revolver?
They're heavy.
They are.
Sorry.
They are. And you'll only get 6 tries.
Right.
Well, I had one gun in my time, and it was a Beretta, and it was a 32 caliber, which I guess is not a popular caliber because it was a hard time finding ammo for it. This gun was light. It felt right, but when you pulled the trigger, you never knew when it was actually going to go off. You know?
Yep.
It was, I'm pulling.
Longest trigger pull ever.
It's so much easier watching Roy Rogers do it. I don't know.
But we've also found, Michaela, that, you know, when you find a gun, first of all, it's got to be really comfortable because you need to shoot it a lot. You need to practice with it a lot. And if it's not comfortable and you don't like the long trigger pull or the big bang that goes off or whatever, you're not going to practice.
Right. If you're not in love with your gun, you will not use it.
I want to get to, next segment, where to practice, okay? I get that question all the time. Where do you go to practice with a gun?
A great suggestion for
okay,
you.
Okay, good. And we're going to hit on your blood drive going on now, and yeah. We'll make it quick so you can go to your own blood drive, okay? We'll be back. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1019.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk True.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter with Trey Valentine for one more segment, and Michaela, both representing Nevada Firearms Academy, which is grown. Tell us about the, now you have a Nevada Archery Academy.
Yes. Tyson is our archery guy with Nevada Archery Academy and has been around with my husband Scott for 20 plus years and just riding along, helping us train and build to where we are now when we promised him we would build archery. So now we have about 13 bays at 17 to 20 yards upstairs above the gun range at the indoor.
See, I heard archery was a big thing. It's coming back. The young people are getting into it.
It's crazy.
What was it that... Was it the Chasing Fire movies that made
you
it
know,
popular?
I'm not sure, but I believe it's league-based. I have every age. I think the youngest archer I saw the other day was 4, And he was up there just slinging them like no other. And we have what we call a bows and bullets league. So the whole family can be involved.
Good
you do the bows on Friday, and then you come downstairs and do the guns on Saturdays.
So
and
it's the same building as Nevada Firearms Academy, only it's upstairs. And I think we just lost Chasing Arrows, didn't we?
Yeah, Wasting Arrows closed,
Wasting
I think,
Arrows.
In May or something like that of last year.
So this is the place for the bow and arrow.
That's the word on the street.
All right, back to the firearms. Where do you recommend people can go out and practice, like you said, and shoot? It's difficult around here, which is odd because I lived for a time in New England, and you would think, you know, blue state, New England, there's all sorts of places to shoot there. They have gun clubs, which have like backyards and a bar.
Yeah.
And you can shoot. I mean, they make guns in New England. I guess that's one reason why. Where can we shoot around here?
So we have an indoor gun range at Nevada Firearms Academy and Range. We have 10 bays that are self-moving. There's only 3 indoor gun ranges in town, guys. And Scott has always said, we don't care where you train, how you train, just train. We are all each other's backup in this community.
Here's the complaint I hear about indoor gun ranges. You have to buy their ammo, is it?
Not at our range.
Okay.
We just ask to visually see what ammo you bring in. Make sure we give it a thumbs up and it's range rounds that we approve of.
You just pay like for the time.
Right. So our fee is $20 for the whole day. Includes your first target. You're going to run out of time, energy, or ammo, my friend.
Oh, that's outstanding.
And when you do, we have coffee, cookies, and popcorn for you to hang out and watch TV and the games. We'll have the Super Bowl on tomorrow.
Yeah, you can come have lead for breakfast, go out and do whatever you got to do during the day, and then come back later on in the afternoon or at night and have lead for dinner as well.
It sounds like heaven.
He means throwing lead downrange.
I got it. Okay. Okay, and you're still in the rock and roll band?
Yeah, we're Valentine Rodeo is gearing up for summer, playing the Rib Cook-Off, all the big venues, Street Vibrations usually down there at Battleborn Harley-Davidson in Carson City.
Well, it turns out you don't have time for radio anyway.
Well, you know what it's like, John. You got to diversify. You got to look over here and go, how can I make this work?
I know. I never dreamed I'd be doing this. Yeah. I thought I'd still be a Channel 2.
But you know, if you do what you love, Michaela, Scott, me.
Truly.
You never work a day in your life.
Truly.
So true.
That is so true. You're absolutely right. You may not make enough money, which is why this 70-year-old man is still trying to find a job here.
He's still smiling, though, John.
But
like
I'm
that.
Still smiling. You got it. Okay, let's plug that blood drive going on right now. We need the blood, right?
Yes.
Is this an emergency time or?
Yes, if you have ever donated blood in your life, you have been receiving text messages saying to continue to donate. We are at a nationwide loss at this very moment. So
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what they told us. We are actually doing 3 additional blood drives this year just to try to help that.
Have you ever done a blood drive before?
Yes, we've done them since the Las Vegas
shooting. You know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, we got this.
We got it dialed. In the summer, The blood isn't as necessary as it is right now. It's very crucial right now. But in the summer, like, we'll have food trucks, and Valentine Rodeo's played there before outside live. So it's fun. It's a festival, you know.
Cool. And so did Vitalant bring their big
their
van?
Blood bus.
Yep. Their blood bus is out there.
Yep.
Right now. Okay.
Yep, it's right there in the parking lot right next to the Reno cheesesteak truck.
And this is going on from now until
2 o'clock.
2 p.m.
See? I remembered.
And the hardest part is signing up. So if you sign up online, you'll save yourself a little bit of time. Because there is a process, okay? But if you want to save yourself some time, sign up online, make an appointment, and then you just go there, bam, and you're done.
Okay. Where do you sign in online?
There is a link on our website at nfareno.com.
Okay.
That has all of our future upcoming events and blood drives.
Well, go there. I think that one of the greatest things is that, and I'm curious about this, I would give blood just to check out this amazing facility.
Yeah, you can also follow us on Instagram. We have an amazing social media coordinator that has gotten us up and on popping on the social media platform. So all of our events will be posted on Instagram as well.
Marketers here. Another one of your talents, Trey. Oh, my gosh. And I'm going to leave you with this. Give the address to this place where the blood drive's going on right now.
9425 Double R Boulevard.
Got it. 9425 Double R Boulevard. Yeah. Thank you, Michaela. Thank you, Trey Valentine. Anything you want to say?
Good to see you, John. You look good, baby.
Thanks for having us.
I look good. Right.
We'll leave up a target for you.
Oh, good. Good to have you folks out here. Trey, let's do it again sometime, okay?
Amen, brother.
Awesome, man. John Potter, live and local, and we're going to break for Fox News. Grant writing is the topic next with our next guest for one segment. Up next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1029.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. For one segment, we have in the studio with us, it's Chris Cox. I get that right?
That's right.
Chris Cox is a grant writer. He provides a service. Basically, and from what little I know, forgive me, so I'm just going to ask these basic questions of you, Chris. First off, welcome. I'm glad you showed up.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
This is a great service because nonprofits could really benefit from what you do. And we were just talking about nonprofits need all the help they can get, especially nowadays. And you were telling me that it's not easy to be a nonprofit right now. Why is that?
Well, for nonprofits nowadays, but maybe even at all times, it can be hard to explain to people that in order for you to provide value to a community, you need money coming in. So I've spoken to a lot of nonprofits. I've helped out or worked for a lot of nonprofits over the years. And consistently what I heard, especially as a copywriter who is maybe trying to help them advertise, is, well, we're not sure if we can pay you. Mm-hmm. We can't justify the cost of you to the people who are making donations to us.
A grant writer basically finds the funds?
That's right.
And how do you do that?
So what we do, there are websites and search engines, things like Instrumental, where we go to special search engines. We look at all of the grants, all of the donors who might be interested in what it is you do as a nonprofit. And rather than relying on you to waste dozens of hours looking
Right. I wouldn't know where to start.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of the places you go to look for that sort of stuff, where you can get tens of thousands of dollars so that you can continue to serve your community, that information isn't out on the, I guess you would say, the mainstream internet. You need a subscription to a special search engine so that you can go look after this stuff. And I have that. Grant writers have that. So if you come to me and we put together something called a funding strategy, I can make a list of grants so that your nonprofit, rather than having to be worried and going from paycheck to paycheck to kind donor to paycheck, mm-hmm. instead of worrying about that, you can do your job because I can make a list on a rolling basis of grants that you can apply for, get the money from, and float around until you get the next grant all throughout the year, and I can write up the applications to those grants for you as you go.
So basically what you're saying is that the money is out there to help a lot of nonprofits. The catch is knowing how to get it.
That's exactly it.
So this must have taken a lot of training. I mean, to me, it's a big puzzle out there, even getting something like a scholarship. I mean, it's more complicated than that, isn't it?
It is. And so I am actually getting trained by the Global Grant Writers Collective. Additionally, there's a local grant writer named Johanna Downey, who's also been helping me. I actually got into this partly because I met her at Adams Hub in Carson City, which is a group of entrepreneurs who get together and talk shop. And so because I've had a lot of kind support from a lot of great people, I've been able to develop this service and provide this service to a lot of different people.
What are the misconceptions that people have about grant writers?
Well, that's hard for me to say. One thing I often hear about grant writing or just being self-employed is, well, I mean, that's so nebulous. Where do you even start?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was even told, well, you think you're going to cold call people until you get business. That's a dead business model. Well, I cold called. I've gotten now 3 grants I'm working on, or rather 2 grants and a funding strategy. And as for Nebulous, mm-hmm. what I have found is because I have subscriptions to some of these special websites that list grants, and because I have the research skills that I honed in the past as a journalist, it's actually very easy to be very scientific. Mm-hmm. If you as a nonprofit sit down with me and say, we do this for people, we need money for such and so a service, I can sit down, I can make an online list of mm-hmm. everyone who funds anything like you and narrow it down to the grants that offer the largest amount of money and have the greatest statistical possibility of actually disbursing funds to you. And I can use my old journalism skills. I can interview the people who are on the boards of those foundations who give out those grants, and I can say, here's what these people do. Are you willing to play ball with us?
You're another ex-journalist who's trying to figure out how to use his skills. I am too.
Oh, you too, huh?
I am too.
You know, okay, I know that life.
You don't want to ask.
So, what?
Besides nonprofits, is it all nonprofits with you? What sort of folks could benefit from you? Is it just nonprofit agencies that could benefit, or are there individuals who could benefit from your services?
There is such a thing as medical grants for people who have just been drowned in medical debt, things like that. I haven't written one yet, but they are out there. Furthermore, there are grants for businesses, though they're harder to get, because you'll need to do some special pleading, and you'll need to say, well, even though I'm a business and something about my business model or what I'm doing hasn't worked, here's why I deserve to keep going. But since the pandemic, interestingly, some of my associates have been telling me about the market having been flooded, basically, with new grants for businesses, probably because of how hard it is to run in-person businesses, especially when we had the lockdowns.
What for-profit businesses would be eligible for grants?
Well, that's not something I've specialized in at this time.
But they're out there for...
They are, in fact, out there, and I'm willing to speak to anyone who wants to, and I can do that research for them. That's one of the services that I offer.
I bet where the journalism skills come in, it's basically investigative, and so you get in the weeds, and you investigate where this money is and how to apply for it and bring it home.
Exactly. And I was shocked because what ends up happening is I did a grant for what's called the Trauma Intervention Program, which are civilian. I was once a member for about 18 months. Those are civilian volunteers who help out on the scenes of disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And so a local branch in Riverside, California, people I had cold called, no less, they needed help finding demographic data on what kinds of people they were serving, how many there were, and if they secured funding so that they could train more volunteers, how many more people might they be able to help? So I sat down and basically interviewed one of the people who was involved in awarding the grant and said, how exactly do I answer all these questions for you? Jeez. And I was able to, because the TIP has a hard time getting grants because that's tough. So I sat down with the U.S. Census. I sat down with one of the people who awards the grant, and I completed an application for them that might not have been able to make happen otherwise. That particular grant was also a bit of a rush job. We only had, TIP was nice enough to put my testimonial on copycox.com. That's copy, charliesoscarxray.com. She mentioned, and I'd forgotten this, we had like 5 days left to get it done.
Wow. So question here, because, and I'm freely going to ask it because I know that you bring in probably more than than you get out of this. What does it cost a nonprofit to have you as a grant writer?
Well, so as a grant writer, what we do is we charge per project. I can't necessarily answer that because some grants are, I'm going to sit down for a couple days with you. I'm going to talk to you about exactly who you help, why you're passionate about what you do. And in a few days, I might be able to get something out for you as I was able to for TIP with some effort. Other grants, there are multi-million dollar federal grants out there where a grant writer will be working on maybe two or three of those over the period of a year. That's all they do all year. Mm. They write the grant. They gather the data for the grant. We use project management software like Asana. So that's not a question I can answer quite directly, mm-hmm. But people are free to call me. Again, okay. My phone number is on my website, and we can do a consultation about what that would look like.
And you're totally independent. You're not with some chain operation.
That's correct. I'm self-employed. They're calling that a solopreneur now.
Okay. Wow. What made you want to do this, of all things?
Well, so it's interesting. When I was a journalist, some of the people I worked for were nonprofit. When you get started writing, especially, you know, you're a kid, you're on your high school newspaper. I was on the staff of Accolades at Las Vegas Academy of the Arts when I was younger. One of the things you do is you do, you know, church newsletters and things like that. And the more you hang around people, the more you notice a lot of these really wonderful, great, highly credentialed people, especially in the nonprofit world, they don't have a lot of resources to work with. Right. And I think that's a shame because people humble brag a little bit. Mm-hmm. They tell themselves, well, we're a scrappy little startup and we're going to save the world on a shoestring budget. Well, that's tough because the more qualified someone is, the harder they're going to have a time justifying that. They've got their student loans to pay, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. So why not put your money where your mouth is?
Yeah.
Why not invest in yourself, in your people, because you're doing a good job and you deserve it?
The nonprofits I know are a lot of volunteers and everything. They are not experts or skilled in what you do, and that is grant writing and getting this money to come in that's being offered. Who offers, by the way, money? But where are these grants, basically? Are they government or?
There's a little bit of everything. It is entirely possible just to go up to someone you know who really likes to help out with X, Y, or Z and ask them, can you help these people out? It's been done. There are a lot of foundations out there that offer grants. There's also, interestingly enough, a lot of the biggest grants are offered by the Fed. You just need to prove that you have a charitable purpose, and it's best to either be incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit or to be partnering with one in some way.
All right. Awesome. Give us your information here, Chris Cox. What is your website where people can find out more to benefit their nonprofit?
All right, so my website is www.copycox.com. That's copy, C-O-X, Charlie Oscar X-ray, if you do ham radio, .com. My number, which is also on my website, is 775-781-4501.
Chris Cox, grant writer. Thank you. What an education.
Thank you very much.
Came out.
I was very glad to be here.
Hey, it was awesome. I love learning more about this stuff, and when you're talking money available to help people out, I'm all ears. Chris Cox, once again, grant writer. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1048.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hey there. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, 1051 our time. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Let's go to the phones at 884-9910. And calling from Dayton, it's Robert. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called.
Hey, good morning, John. Anyhow, I was listening to your show earlier, and you were trying to figure out, you know, with you were talking about between the caucus and the primary and the Republican Party and what's going on with the Republican Party and all that other good stuff. And from my own perspective here, I haven't heard anybody else talk about it, but has the thought ever occurred that, well, the Republicans of Nevada have been, upset with the Republican Party of Nevada for many decades now. And when the Republican Party said, no, we're going to just have the primary over this past election, and the Republican Party didn't really stand up satisfactorily, the Republican voters just said, screw you, and we're all voting for it in the primary because Trump's not on the, we're all voting in the caucus because Trump's not on the primary.
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. It's over. It's over with. It's done.
Yeah, it's done and over. But I'm just thinking that, you know, and people have a tendency to put Republican voters with the Republican Party in their state. And like I said, over, you know, time here, the Republican Party has gone basically against the voter, and the voters are just saying, you know what? Nah, we're done with you.
That's yeah, I get you, Robert. I get you. I mean, did you participate? Did you go to the caucus or did you vote in the primary?
I went to both.
So you could do that. Sure. How was the caucus?
Well, the caucus was a little bit more fun. A lot of, I feel, one-sided propaganda. But then again, it's the Republican Party by itself, you know, don't get many views. And the ones that do come up, if they're not totally in lockstep, you know, you basically get shut out.
Okay, and so you were there to represent who? Who were you there at the caucus to promote?
I was there to promote Trump. And
okay.
What I feel is his views. And,
good.
You know, I had a bunch of people come up and go, well, what about Ukraine? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what about them? You know,
yeah.
We got our own problems. We have to take care of ourselves first.
I'm with
you
there.
That's what I'm, you know, and it's just, you know, the general vibe of, you know, what I feel is going on with the Republican Party and, my umbrage with them.
So when you were there, did anybody speak up for Ryan Binkley?
I did not hear anybody.
I was very curious to find out who this person is. But anyway, Trump took it, 99.2% of the caucus vote, winning over Ryan Binkley. He had 0.8% of the caucus vote. I did not see any Binkley bumper stickers. Nikki Haley, you know what? She had a choice to be in this caucus, and she decided not to be in it, okay? I don't get her saying it was rigged even before it happened. Yes, it was a bit difficult, but you know what? We've had caucuses here for decades. And I thought, like you say, Robert, that it's a great get together with people. And it's not, you don't have to be there 3 hours at these things. For the elderly and such, they could just stop by and put their vote in and leave the caucus. So it wasn't the disaster. Yeah, it was a little bit confusing. But it got done, you know. So anything else you want to say about it, Robert?
Other than just say, nah, I hear you on that limited time, simply because I didn't hang up forever. I was only there for like 20, 30 minutes. And my only thought for Nikki Haley in regard for her is, in my book, she's a rhino. But that's why I'm glad she wasn't in the caucus, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, she really lost in the primary. So
she's
anyhow, my opinion.
Well, she's turned into a rhino. I actually had high hopes for her in the beginning.
But then her actions prove where she is, and it's like, okay, we can see where this is going.
Yeah, well, here's one example. Nikki Haley was on Saturday Night Live last week, where she made fun of Donald Trump. She never, by the way, she doesn't make Trump, she doesn't make fun of Joe Biden. It's a Republican making fun of a Republican, okay? And she's always doing this. But here's the thing. If you are on Saturday Night Live and they are doing something other than mocking you, you are decidedly not a Republican, right?
Exactly.
They don't want Republicans on Saturday Night Live to make them look good. They just don't do that. Ask Sarah Palin. And God bless. Yes?
Go ahead.
Oh, and God bless Nikki Haley, who up to a few weeks ago was my first choice, but she has gone to the other side, as you say, her option, of course, but she has no prospects of winning. She may not get a single delegate. What was the headline that went around the country this week? Nikki Haley loses Nevada Republican primary to none of these candidates. It was Nikki Haley, 30%. None of these candidates, 63%. Well, that's of her own doing.
And while we're talking about Nikki Haley real quick here, just throw this out there. I don't see her winning South Carolina. And also, I see her staying in afterwards simply because she's going to be relying on Trump having to go to jail and going to have to drop out. That's the only reason she's sticking in my view.
All right, Robert, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. All right, yeah, South Carolina, she may not win. She was, what, governor there? May not win. All right, we're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 10:58. We'll be back.